Good morning. If you would turn with me to the first chapter of John, verses 49, 50, and 51. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Two choices. In the book of John, Jesus gives two choices. In John chapter 8, in verse 24, Jesus said, "If you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said, "I have come," He says, praying to His Father, "I've come to provide eternal life. I've come to provide eternal life." And so you have two choices. In one, you can die in your sins, or two, you can find eternal life in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, and believing you might find life in His name." Jesus came so we don't have to die in our sins. Jesus came so that we can find eternal life in Him. In John chapter 1, there's a skeptic. John chapter 1, there's a skeptic who says, "I don't know about all this." Philip comes to his buddy Nathanael and he says, "Nathanael, we have found Him. He is the Christ." He says, "Who is it?" "Well, it's Jesus from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Is there really anything good that can come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see." So Jesus comes, and he offers the skeptic something to offer evidence for belief in Him. And as Brother Roger read for us a moment ago, Jesus alludes to this ladder in verse 51. He said, "You're going to see a ladder descended, and the Son of Man is going to be there, and the angels of heaven are going to be ascending and descending." And He said, "You're going to see a gate opened in heaven and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." I want to see this morning what that's all about. Because He tells Nathanael, "You're going to see greater things." And I want to think about that for just a few minutes this morning. When Jesus mentions a ladder out of heaven and angels ascending and descending, Nathanael, being a good Jew, familiar with the Old Testament, his mind would have gone running back to the book of Genesis. And so before we get to Nathanael this morning, I want to run back for a moment to the book of Genesis. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles and let us see for a moment what Jacob saw, because this is important. Jacob is going to see a ladder, and he's going to see angels of heaven ascending and descending, and I want to see what that's all about for just a moment. Now, as you're turning to the book of Genesis, let's just make sure we're all on the same page. Let's think about who this is, who this Jacob is. And again, if you're familiar with the book of Genesis, then you know that there are main characters in the book of Genesis. You know, it starts with creation and Adam and Eve. And then we're going to get to the flood and Noah. And following the flood, we're going to get to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then to Jacob's son Joseph before the book of Genesis concludes. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. God has called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldeans to a land that He is going to promise to him and to his descendants after him. Jacob's father is Isaac, Abraham's son. Isaac is married to Rebekah, and Rebekah gives birth to two sons. They're twins. The older is Esau, the younger is Jacob. When Jacob is born, he is holding on to the heel of his brother Esau as they exit the womb. And so he's holding on to his brother's heel, And they name him Jacob, which literally is the one who grasps the heel, or the supplanter. Another way of saying it is a deceiver. And Jacob is going to live up to that name, isn't he? He's going to live up to that name. You recall it's Esau who comes in from the field one day famished, thinking he's going to die. And Jacob has just made this pot of stew, and Esau says to his brother, "I'm going to die. I've got to have some of that stew." And he says, "Well, give me your birthright." He's scheming. "Give me your birthright." Esau says, What's that to me? I'm going to die. "Sure, you can have it." So he gets his birthright. And then he deceives his father. Along with his mother, he deceives his father, and he gets the blessing that was intended for his brother Esau from his father. And so we see this happening in the book of Genesis. Well, Esau, understandably, is irate and ready to kill his brother for what he has done. He's stolen his blessing, and so he is irate. He's ready to kill his brother. And so they send Jacob back to the land of Rebekah, back to Rebekah's family. Now, you can look on a map, and you'll see just a little bit south of Jerusalem, you can see Beersheba. That's where they were living at the time. And they're going to send Jacob from Beersheba all the way up north to Haran. That's out of the land of Israel, north of Israel, to the city of Haran, where Rebekah's family is. All right, so you understand all this is happening. Now, the night before he exits the promised land, Jacob has a dream. This is what he saw. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 10, the Bible says that Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Then he had a dream. And behold, a ladder stood on the earth with its top touching heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, "I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. And your seed will also be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you." And Jacob awoke from his sleep. And he said, "Surely Yahweh is in this place, and I didn't know it." And he was afraid, and he said, "How fearsome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey on which I am going, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in peace, then Yahweh will be my God. Now this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Kind of a lengthy reading, I understand. But you understand the dream that Jacob had. And in that dream, he sees again this ladder reaching up to, he says, the gate of heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And what God was helping Jacob to understand is that I am in this place. When Jacob awoke, he understood that he had been in the presence of God. And he named that place Bethel, literally, the house of God. Now, God makes a threefold promise. Basically, it's repeated what he had said to Abraham and to Isaac before. Now he gives to Jacob, and he says, "I want you to know," in verse 13, "that you are going to come back to this land, and your descendants will inherit this land." So he makes a land promise. Number two, in verse number 14, he promises that all nations are going to be blessed through his seed. And that's very important, right? Again, that's been made to Abraham and to Isaac, and now it's made to Jacob. "But through one that is coming through you, all nations are going to be blessed." And then in verse 15, he says, "I'm promising my presence with you. You see, I'm not constrained to this land only, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to provide for you, and I will bring you back. And so he's saying, you're leaving this land. I'm going to bring you back here, but I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. Well, you go through the next couple of chapters in the book of Genesis, and you know that God kept his promise, right? That God was with him. That he finds Rebekah, his mother's family, her father, her brother Laban, that he marries Rachel and Leah and their two handmaids, Zilpah and Bilpah. And you know that he prospers in livestock and that they give birth to 12 sons and one daughter. And he is rich by the time he enters the land. He is gone for 20 years. And after this dream, he leaves and he's gone for 20 years. And so you fast forward 20 years in time, and you come to Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 10. Now he has entered, re-entered the promised land. He's come back. He's heading home to where he was from. And in verse number 10 of chapter 32, the Bible says, Jacob says to God, I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the truth which you have shown to your slave. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and strike me down with the mothers and the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. I like to fast forward in time, and I like to put myself in the shoes of Jacob. And he says to God, listen, I wasn't so godly before. I wasn't so focused on you before. I'm a deceiver. You know, I did things that I don't think he's very proud of at this point in his life. And it doesn't have evidence that he really was looking at God. He says, God, 20 years ago, I crossed over this Jordan River with nothing in my hand but a staff. And now I have enough livestock. I have enough servants. I have a big enough household that I've had to divide us into camps in order to get us all back here. And he looks at what God had done, and he is thankful. I point that out because I want you to understand the picture of this ladder. And when Nathanael heard Jesus talk about a ladder, he would have gone back to this scene in Genesis. He would have gone back to his ancestor Jacob. He would have gone back and he would have recalled very familiarly about these words of Jacob to God. And you go over to chapter 35 and look at verse number 1. And the Bible says that God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you and cleanse yourselves and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. Jacob, did you see great things? Oh, I saw great things. I saw great things from the hand of God. I saw what God can do. I know that God has been with me for all of my life. I know that all the blessings that I enjoy, they come from God. I see all the evidence I need to know that there is a God, and He is a good God, and He has blessed me richly. Nathanael knew all of that too. Jacob saw great things. Jacob, did you see great things? Yes. I saw great things. Nathanael, what about you? I mean, I'm looking for evidence that now we have God standing before you in the flesh. I'm looking for evidence that this is, in fact, the Son of God, that this is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the one that was going to come through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that would provide blessing to all people. Is this really Him? Nathanael, did you see great things? And he said, oh, I saw great things. I go to in the Bible now to John chapter 1, and we look at this context just a little bit more. You recall that John the Baptist has come preparing the way for Jesus, who is the Christ. In John chapter 1, in verse number 29, he's standing with his disciples, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. his disciples heard what he said. Adam, do you have a favorite Bible character? I don't know how you beat John the Baptist. Outside of the Lord, I love John the Baptist. I love what he came to do. I love that he came and he did it. I love that he had disciples who were following him, and I love that he directed them to ultimately the Christ. I love that he was a man of great humility. I love that he was powerful in his preaching, powerful enough that people left the big cities and came out to the desolate wilderness just to hear what he had to say. I love John the Baptist. I love his heart. I love that he was only pointing people to Jesus. And I love that he was willing to stand up for what was right, even though it cost him his life. I love John the Baptist. But I love that when Jesus came walking by, and he had followers of his own, he said, "You don't need to follow me. You need to follow him." He said, that's the Christ. In fact, he says, "I am unworthy to even bend down and untie his sandal strap. I couldn't prostrate myself low enough. I couldn't show enough humility in his presence because he is God and he was born after me, but he is before me." One of those who heard John say that was Philip. And Philip went to Nathanael and he tells Nathanael that we have found the Christ. Nathanael is a great skeptic. I can relate to that, can't you? Don't you love the fact that God never says, "Just follow me blindly," but he always provides all the evidence we need to know who he is. And I love the fact that Nathanael was a skeptic, and I love the fact that he changed his mind so quickly and after seeing this evidence. But here's the evidence. "Nathanael, did you see great things?" He said, "Yeah, I saw great things." He said, "I was under a fig tree. I don't know about that fig tree. I don't know where that fig tree was. I don't know what made it so special, but I know that Nathanael understood that there was nobody who could know that he was under that fig tree except for God. And so when Jesus came and he says, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' Nathanael knew only God could know that. Therefore, you must be God. You're God. I don't know any other conclusion to reach. Nathanael, did you see great things? I'll tell you, I saw great things. This man came up and told me things that only God could know. And I came to believe in him." In John chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, that on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." Well, you know the rest of the story. You know that Jesus had the servants fill these water pots full. 6 water pots, 20 to 30 gallons apiece. He said, "Fill them up to the brim." They did. And then he said, "Now dip out of that," filled them with water. And they dipped out that water and they took it to the master of the feast and he drank it. And he called the bridegroom over and he says, "Whoa." He says, "Normally you save the best, the freshest, the best tasting. Normally you save that until the end, after people have already had a lot to drink. But you save the best for last." And he didn't know where that wine had come from, that grape juice had come from. But I love the fact that John says in verse number 9, "But the servants knew where the water had come from." They knew that wine was water before. When they filled the water pots, it was water, and then it changed into wine. What's the point? Verse 11, "Jesus did this in Cana of Galilee as the beginning of his signs and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." One of those disciples is Nathanael. He's a man of two names. Other places where the apostles are listed, the 12 are listed, you're going to find the name Bartholomew. It is believed that Bartholomew is Nathanael. Nathanael is Bartholomew. But here he is with his disciples. They've been invited to this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Jesus changes water into wine, and his disciples believe in him. "Nathanael, did you see great things?" "I sure did. I sure did." Now, side note, John chapter 21 in verse 2 tells us that Cana happens to be Nathanael's hometown. So he is in his hometown where Jesus performs this miracle. You think he didn't know the people who were in the wedding? You think he didn't have familiarity with a lot of people who were there? Certainly he did. And he saw water changed into wine. I go down to John chapter 4. Nathanael, did you see great things? He said, let me tell you what I saw. I saw some great things. In John chapter 4, going toward the end of the chapter, in verse number 46, here again is Nathanael's hometown. Verse 46, then he, Jesus, came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was asking him to come down and to heal his son, for he was about to die. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. And the royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. And while he was still going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed and his whole household. This is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Nathanael, did you see great things? I saw great things. I saw unbelievable things. I saw things that I can't even begin to describe. I saw Jesus do some amazing things. I heard him say amazing things, and I saw him do amazing things. Nathanael, were you in the boat when Jesus walked on the water? Yeah, I was there. I saw it. I saw Jesus come walking out. We thought it was a ghost. And I was there in that boat when Jesus came walking on the water. Nathanael, were you there when Peter asked to get out of the boat? Yeah, I was there. I watched the whole thing. I saw Peter get out of the boat, and then I saw him take his eyes off of Jesus. But before he did that, he was walking on the water too. I was there, and I saw it. I saw great things. I saw Jesus heal an unbelievable amount of sick people. I saw him cast out demons left and right. I saw him demonstrate his power in so many wonderful ways. Nathanael could say, I was there when Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. I was there when Jesus fed 4,000 with just a little bit extra, just a few things. Jesus fed 4,000 people. I was there. I saw it. I witnessed everything. In John chapter 11, Nathanael, were you there? I was there. I was there at the tomb of Lazarus. I saw the whole thing. I was there when Jesus said to roll away the stone. And I was there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And I was there. I saw it with my own eyes when a dead man, who had been dead, came walking out in grave clothes. And I was there when Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. I was there. I saw great things. I witnessed it. I was there. Nathanael, did you see great things? Let me tell you what I saw. Nathanael could say, I was there. Turn over your Bible to John chapter 20. I was there, Nathanael could say. I was there when Jesus died. I knew that he had been crucified. I knew that they nailed him to a cross. I knew that he'd cried out and yielded up his spirit. I knew that he was taken as a dead man off of the cross. And I know that he was placed into a tomb. I know that all of those things took place. I may not have been there exact in that moment, but I know that he died and I know that he was buried. And in John chapter 20, in verse number 19, the Bible says, so while it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and while the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Were you there, Nathanael? I was there. The door was shut, and we were in that room. And Jesus came in. He didn't even open the door. He just was in there with us. And he showed us his hands, and he showed us his feet, and he showed us his side. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw a man who had been dead, very much alive. I was there. And in John chapter 21, Nathanael is listed. He was there. His name is there in John chapter 21. When they say, let's go fishing, and they get in the boat, and they go out fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and they see someone walking along the seashore the next morning. They've been out all night, and they've caught nothing. These are professional fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They've been out all night. They caught nothing. The man on the shore says, children, have you caught anything? No, nothing. And that voice said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they did. And the Bible says they caught 153 fish. So much so that the nets were full. Were you there, Nathanael? Did you see great things? I saw great things. I saw great things. Brethren and friends, Jesus said, Nathanael, you're going to see that ladder out of heaven. You're going to see the gate of heaven open and the angels of heaven ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And what Jesus is saying to Nathanael is, I am God. I am God. The angels of heaven ascending and descending upon me, that is me. I am God. He is making himself to be deity. And ultimately what he is saying is, I have come to provide you access to the gate of heaven. I have come so that you don't have to die in your sin. I'm giving you all the evidence you need for the fact that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of God, and I'm dying for you. I descended for you so that you can ascend to the gate of heaven. Now you and I, we've seen some great things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it's one of my very favorite verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, I'd invite you to find it in your Bible and read it with me. Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though being rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, when I think about this ladder and I think about descending and ascending, I think about this verse. I think about the fact that Jesus was on high and was willing to descend, that he was rich, yet for our sakes was willing to become poor, so that we, being poor in our poverty, might become what? Rich. He descended so that we can ascend. It's a picture of a ladder. It's a picture of our being able and have access into the gate of heaven. What do you and I see? Well, we see great things. I'll tell you, we see great things in Jesus. We see the fact that we don't have to die in our sins, but you and I can die to our sins. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. That you and I no longer have to worry about the fact that our sins are going to stay with us, or that we're going to be held responsible for them, or that we can't be forgiven of them. But the Bible says that because of what Jesus has done, we can be forgiven of our sin, that I don't have to die in my sin. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. But I don't have to. Right? That's great. That's a great thing. I don't have to die in my sin. I tell you, I can take that for granted so easily. Sometimes I don't give that a thought. Sometimes I go through my whole day and I won't even think about the fact that Jesus died so that I don't have to die in my sin. Shame on me. That Jesus descended so that I can ascend. What a great thing. I want to keep that in my mind all the time. What a great thing that you and I as Christians know that we can have forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sin. What a great thing. Have you seen great things? You say, I sure have. You see, because all those miracles are recorded and you've got firsthand account through Nathanael and others, I know that that's exactly what took place. I have great confidence in what the Bible says. It's been proven true time and time again. I see all the evidence that I need to know that Jesus is the Christ and that He came and He died for me. You and I, we see great things. We need never to forget it. The greatness of being in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found. Do you see great things? I don't want to take these things for granted. These things are great. They're great, brethren. And we need to think about these things and think about them. We notice what Jacob saw. We look at what Nathanael saw. We look at what we see. And yet Jesus said, Nathanael, you believe in me because I saw you under a fig tree? He says, trust me, you're going to see greater things than these. Jacob, did you see great things? Yes. Greater things in Jesus. Nathanael, did you see great things? Yes, but greater things are found in Jesus. Christians, do we see great things? Yes, we see great things. But Jesus died so that we can see greater things. Ultimately, He came to provide us access to heaven. What I really want you to understand this morning is because of who Jesus is and what He came to do, we know great things in this life that we must never take for granted. But Nathanael, were you there? Were you there in John 14? Were you there when Jesus said it? Were you there when He made all of those great promises? Were you there when He said that He was going to go away, but He was going to send a helper? Were you there when He said the Comforter was going to come? Yeah, I was there. Nathanael could say, I was there. I was in that upper room. I heard the Lord say it. Nathanael, were you there? Nathanael, how many times did you go back and think about those words? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder, Nathanael, how many times you went back and thought about that precious promise. You see, life is difficult and brings with it tremendous challenges from time to time. But I'm not living to see the great things in this life as great as they are. There's something greater. To go to be with the Lord, Paul says, is far better. You will see greater things. This morning, what are you living for? Nathanael, did you see great things? I saw great things. But I anticipated seeing greater things. I anticipated the fact that Jesus came out of His richness down to poverty so that we in poverty might become rich. And I'm going to be with Him. History says that Nathanael died a martyr's death in Asia Minor. I don't know that it can be said with 100% accuracy. You can research as much as I can. But in my research, what it seems is that Nathanael died a martyr's death at the hands of a whip. Literally whipped to death. Literally flayed open. They whipped him enough to kill him. Nathaniel, why would you let them do that? I mean, as a Christian, why would you continue to make that stand? As a Christian, why would you let them get that whip out knowing that they're going to take your life with it? Why would you let them do that? And the answer is, I'm prepared to see greater things. I'm preparing to see greater things. So I ask myself, as I ask you, are you prepared to see greater things? Jesus came and died so that we can see greater things, that we can go and to be with Him forever. We better have our mind made up now. Don't you get the feeling that Nathaniel must have had his mind made up before the whip came out? He already had his mind made up. He knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going to go. He knew where his faith was. Is there really anything good that can come out of Nazareth? The answer? Yes. Yes. Jesus the Christ, He came and died for you, and He died for me, so that we can see greater things. I don't know where you are this morning in your walk with the Lord. We can ask questions of Jacob, and we can ask questions of Nathaniel, and we can ask questions of each other, but now I'm asking you, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Jesus came and died so that you can go to heaven, my friend. That's good news. The good news is you don't have to die in your sins, but you can find life in Him. This morning, if you don't have life in Him, then that can be changed in a moment. Will you come this morning believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, ready to repent of sin in your life, to confess your faith in Him as the Son of God, to be immersed in baptism, to have your sins washed away? Jesus died so that you can be forgiven, so that you can enter into heaven. If you're not a Christian today, then we plead with you to become one. And if you have questions that need answered, then we want to sit down and study with you. This morning, as a Christian, perhaps you have forgotten about those great blessings that are only found in Jesus. Perhaps you've walked away from them. Perhaps you are unprepared in this moment for greater things. If that's the case with you as a brother or sister in Christ this morning, can we please pray with you? Can we please help you? Can we please encourage you? That's all we want to do. If we can help you in any way, then won't you please come now while together we stand and while we sing.